For today, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua. To the book of Joshua, please join with me in opening our Bibles. Today, we are going to, God willing, conclude the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 20 to 24, the last five chapters of the book of Joshua. Just as a recap, just wanted to show you this picture. Probably now you are quite familiar with this map. The book of Joshua practically shows these things. Please follow with me in this particular map. The Dead Sea on the south, Sea of Galilee on the north, and the Jordan River that connects both of them. Mediterranean Sea on the left. Book of Joshua started off with people leaving from Shittim to Gilgal. They crossed the Jordan River. And then they went from Gilgal. From Gilgal, they tried to occupy a lot of the land, and then they moved to Shiloh, where they install the tabernacle, and it will be there for more than 300 years. And then Book of Joshua concludes with the land of Shechem. So these are the four major stops or places of significance in the Book of Joshua. If you see on the right corner, I just gave a very high level understanding of this book of Joshua. If you were to look at it, the first five chapters talk about the travel from Shittim to Gilgal, which is crossing, where they cross the Jordan River and they get to Gilgal, and from Gilgal to Shiloh is conquering. At Gilgal, that was their camping ground. They go after all the places in the central, southern, and northern part of the promised land, conquer the land. And also, they come back, they travel to the land of Shiloh, and at Shiloh, they are allotted the lands as well. Each of the tribes of Israel are allotted the lands. Last time we meditated upon it, that is under the banner of conquering. Today, we are going to see the travel from Shiloh to Shechem, which is focusing on consecrating. So easy to remember, right? Crossing, conquering, consecrating. Shittim to Gilgal, Gilgal to Shiloh, and Shiloh to Shechem. That is the book of Joshua, if I may. I hope you will remember it, not just for this moment, but for life. Whenever you read the book of Joshua in future, keep this in mind. Now let us get into the chapter 20. Right now, as we speak, these people are in the land of Shiloh. So Joshua chapter 20, please open your Bibles. In that, we notice an important element that is mentioned here. This whole chapter talks about one particular aspect, which is called the cities of refuge. Cities of refuge, six cities of refuge. Whenever I think of this particular phrase, cities of refuge, I get reminded of my dad, who was here, and in 2012, his last Bible study that he took among us at Zion Church when we were meeting in the hotel, he took the Bible study on the cities of refuge. And always I get reminded of that particular thing where he shared about what it means. It's a study by itself, so we cannot get deep into this, but we'll try to see what those cities are and the cities of refuge. These are the six tribes of Israel were given the lands: Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, Dan, Manasseh. So all this 9.5 tribes in the promised land and 2.5 tribes on the east of the Jordan River. This is how the people of Israel occupied the land. But there were six cities that were designated as the cities of refuge. In the land of Judah, there's a place called Hebron that is called the city of refuge. And in the northern part of Ephraim, it's somewhere on the top in Ephraim itself, a place called Shechem. And then in Naphtali, Kedesh. So three on the west side of the Jordan River, and on the right side, Golan, Ramoth, and Bezer on the east side of the Jordan River. Why am I sharing all of this? This is designated by God to these people in order to be able to let some people who unintentionally, the Bible says in this particular chapter, if you see in verse 3, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally without premeditation may flee there. because some accident has happened. He did not intentionally kill a person, but somehow something fell on his head while he was working, somebody else's head, and that person died. So that one of the family members is after this person because he actually killed this person, though it was accidental and unintentional. So this person who accidentally killed the other person is now in trouble. So he can flee, he can run to this one of these cities of refuge and get refuge in that city so that he won't be killed by the avenger, one of the family members of the person who was killed. So such is the kind of way in which God let these cities of refuge be provided. What does refuge mean? Refuge means a protection. Even in Psalm 91, we just meditated upon it, about the refuge under the shadow of the Almighty. He is our hiding place, a refuge. Refuge is a protection from trouble. And here, these are the six cities that were designated. I want us to look at one of the verses in the New Testament that uses the word refuge. There is no other place that I could see in the New Testament where the word refuge was mentioned. And please join with me. Please read it along with me. I hope you can follow along with me. Please read it from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20, as it is projected. Please read it aloud. Okay, thanks. Let's read it now. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have, notice this carefully, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I want us to focus on a few words here, as I have underlined. Who have fled for refuge. Just like in the cities of refuge, there were people who were running into the cities of refuge. Now, in this New Testament understanding of what Christ has done for us, we are bound to be killed by the avenger, or we are, the wages of sin is death. There's no other way in which we can be rescued other than going to that place of refuge. And here he says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. When we go to that refuge, when we run, when we flee to the refuge, we have the hope. Verse 19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. We've learned about the tabernacle today as well during the worship time. God takes us into the Holy of Holies, where it is a place of refuge, just like the cities of refuge that are mentioned in Joshua chapter 20. That hope God has given us. When we go through situations in our lives, troubles in our lives, calamities in our lives, uncertainties in our life, there is no better place than going to the presence of the living God, where there is refuge, my dear. And it says, even Jesus becoming the high priest forever, he went ahead of us. He is there in that refuge, place of refuge. He is the hiding place. He is the place where we should have our dwelling. That is a place of refuge, my dear. That is a fortress. So please join with me. A few verses from the scriptures relating to the refuge. Join with me in reading it aloud. So before that, please note it down. The first point in your page, refuge. Refuge. That's the first thing that we can learn from this portion, Joshua chapter 20. Refuge. The Lord is our refuge in calamities. My dear, I think it is no coincidence, but it is according to the plan of God to remind us during this time of pandemic that God is our refuge. The Lord is our refuge in calamities. Can you say that aloud? The Lord is my refuge, if you can say that. If you can say that aloud, join with me in reading the scriptural portions. Join with me. These three scriptural portions aloud, my dear, with faith, trusting in this God whom we believe in. Let's read Psalm 46, 1 and the first portion of verse 2. Let's all read this together, please. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge. Are you going through some fear in your life, my dear? A fear of uncertainty? A fear of what will happen to this world? Fear of what will happen to us? What fear of what will happen to our future? Fear of what will happen to our job? Fear of what will happen to our immigration? Fear of what will happen to our family? Claim this verse. God is our refuge. Run to that city of refuge. And that place is none other than the dwelling place of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is a very present help, my dear. Present help, not any time else, but he is present to help us in trouble. All that we need to do is, therefore, we will not fear. You get that, my dear? You get that? Claim it with faith. God is my refuge. Let's read Psalm 57, 1 all together, please. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me aloud. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Is it not applicable to this present situation that we are in? Asking God to be merciful towards us. For my soul trusts in you. Notice the word trust. Our church promise, 2 Chronicles 20, 20. Listen to me. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. My soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. Refuge is no other place other than the presence of God. And it says, until these calamities have passed by. Calamities will pass by, my dear. Calamities will. Until calamities are passed by, God is going to be my refuge. I will stay under the wings of the Almighty, the shadow of your wings. And we read Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. Once again, let us remind ourselves by reading this two verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. If at all you can learn anything from this chapter of Joshua chapter 20, remember, God is our refuge. The Lord is my refuge in calamities. Did you get that? That is what it is to remind us during these times as well. Until these calamities have passed by, underline it if you can. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next chapter, Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. This particular chapter talks about cities that were allocated to the Levites. As I mentioned in the past as well, the tribes of Israel, all of them received their lands except one tribe, which is the Levites. God said, I am your inheritance. But at the same time, physically speaking, they have to stay and have their family. They have to live in some place. So God said, certain cities across all the land, you should give to the Levites. And there should be lands which are pasture lands, filled with good pasture, good grass, and well-grown vegetation, etc. Why? Because these Levites are serving God. They will not be able to spend time in doing all of it. They should have places where there is already a pasture land. So there were 48 cities that were given to the tribes, to the tribe of Levi. 48 cities. That is mentioned in chapter 21. So turn your Bibles to chapter 21 of Joshua. This talks about the 48 cities that were designated. So I'll show it in the form of a map as well. Here, the towns or cities for the Levites. Joshua chapter 21. So Levites, among the Levites, they are divided into primarily four categories, four types of Levites. The first set, as I show it to you here, I hope you can see the move of the mouse here. These are called clans. The descendants of Aaron, though Aaron is under Kohath, the sons of Aaron are given a specific responsibility in the tabernacle of God. They are called priests, high priests. They all come from the descendants of Aaron. And then the remaining sons of Kohathites, they are considered another clan. Then Gershonites and Merarites. I think I shared this with you. So now God has designated various cities to be given to these four clans of the Levites. The dark brown area is for the sons of Aaron, Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. This area, the cities that were designated to them was given to the sons of Aaron, the priests, the sons of Aaron, the high priests. They were given this particular place. Later on, we see that this area is called the kingdom of Judah at the later point of time. I'll share with you later on. So these are the Aaronites, if I may. Aaronites. And then the remaining Kohathites get these three, Dan, Ephraim, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And the Gershonites get Asher, Naphtali, half tribe of Manasseh, and Issachar, this lighter pinkish color pretty much. And then finally the Merarites get Gad, Reuben, and Zebulun. This is how the cities inside it, not the whole place, but there are certain cities that were designated. These dots talk about the number of cities that were given to the Levites. Out of all the land, they are supposed to give a portion of their land to the Levites for them to stay. And out of these 48 cities, 6 of them were the cities of refuge. Did you notice that? Read it, you will know it. Out of the 48 cities, Hebron, Shechem, Kadesh, Golan, Ramoth, and Bezer are the cities of refuge. Those cities of refuge were given to the Levites. So they were taking care of these cities of refuge as well, apart from being able to live in the various other cities. This particular chapter, Joshua chapter 21, ends with certain verses. I want us to look at it. Please join with me in reading through this. Now, everyone got their land. All the tribes of Israel got their land, and the Levites got their cities or towns while they were at Shiloh. Please join with me in reading Joshua chapter 21, Joshua chapter 21, 43 and 44 all together, please. When you read it aloud, you will concentrate well. That is why I'm asking you. Let's read it. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. When I was reading through this, I could not stop underlining this for to share it with each one of us as well. Notice these three phrases that I underlined. The Lord gave to Israel all the land that he has sworn. The Lord gave them rest all around. The Lord delivered all their enemies. Notice the word all as well. See the word all? When God promises, he gives everything that he has promised. That's something that you and I need to believe. He gave. The Lord gave. The Lord delivered. It is God's work. Spiritually speaking as well. God has given us an inheritance that we don't deserve. That is what grace is. God gave us rest from all around. He has delivered us from all our enemies. And he is taking care of us while we are still on this earth. These three, as you underline it, I want us to focus on another word here, which is the word rest. You see that? Rest all around. Maybe you are going through unrest. Restlessness. I don't know if you got enough sleep last night or over this week, worrying about the things that are happening in this world. Probably you never watched the news as much as you were watching now. And probably you're going through restlessness. God is saying, I will give you rest all around, in all directions, whatever situation you're going through, I will give you rest. So note it down. Rest. Not only is our God our refuge, but he is our rest. He gives us rest. The Lord gives us rest all around, my dear. be encouraged this morning that God is my rest. God is my refuge. Whatever troubles or calamities we may be going through, maybe we are going to some uncertainties in our lives right now. The Lord is reminding us, I will give you rest all around. Though at times, right now it seems to be so much of a stormy situation, God can give you rest. You can rest even in the storm. Christ Jesus, when there was a storm, when they were in the boat with the disciples, he was sleeping calm and still. When he woke up, he said, peace, be still. He'll give us rest, my dear. He will give us peace even during the storm, not just after the storm. Will give us during the storm also. He can give you peace right now. He can give you the peace. You know how he gives us the peace? Join with me in reading Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. All together, please. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus Christ said these words. All we need to do is come to him, the place of refuge, under the shadow of the Almighty, the El Shaddai God, under the shadow of his wings is refuge. And when you come under the shadow and refuge of God, you will have rest. Just like the hen. When there is trouble, the hen calls all its chickens to come and come under her wings. You know, probably you might have heard this story. There was a man who had a farmhouse, and he had a hen who laid eggs and produced chicken. And one night when he was sleeping, he suddenly smelled smoke. So he immediately went out and he saw the whole farmhouse was under fire. He ran into it. And he couldn't go inside because it was filled with fire. Next day morning, he goes, when everything was totally burnt out, he goes in there and he sees the hen totally burnt out, blackened. And he lifted the hen and he saw chicken alive, the little chicken. They were alive under the wings of the mother hen. My dear, that is what Christ did for us. He died for us, just like the hen died. But not only did he die for us, but he rose again from the dead. But he died for us so that we may have the gift of eternal life. Just like the little chicken were alive under the wings of the hen. It's better to be under the wings of the Almighty rather than elsewhere. Don't go out and get the viruses. Instead, stay under the shadow and the wings of the Almighty, my dear. That is where you'll have rest. You will rest. You can have rest for your souls. Let's move on. Note it down. Pass. There's a two words here, pass and fail. What is it, brother, you might say? You put a tick mark against the pass. And join with me in reading these verses. When God is our refuge and our rest, this is what the Bible says. Please read it with me. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45. All together, please read it aloud. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Oh, my people. Such a wonderful verse. Not anything which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel has failed. Pass, no fail. God brings it to pass. Joshua chapter 23 verse 14, join with me in reading it. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. That's what Joshua is saying. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. has not failed. You may be going through a situation right now where you think that things are failing. The God who has promised is a God who is not only a promise-giving God, but also promise-fulfilling God. He will bring it to pass. You may think that things are failing. Why is there things happening to me? Why am I not able to settle in my life? What is going on with my future? What will happen to my family? Looks like everything is falling apart. Let me tell you from the word of God, from the book of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. Joshua 21 ends with this wonderful verse. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. Again in 23rd verse, Joshua says same thing. Not one thing has failed of all the good things the Lord had God concerning. Oh, my dears. There are so many things that they went through in their lives. They went through wilderness. Joshua had to go through wilderness along with Caleb. Though they did not speak anything otherwise when they came back as spies. Still, they had to go through the consequences. But Joshua is telling the good things God has done for us. Even when we went through the wilderness, God was good. Joshua could be able to say that towards the end of his life. He still remained as a man who believed in the God who had a purpose for allowing things in his life, in his personal life. He had to go through so much. Though he went as a spy and said, oh, this is wonderful. He could have stayed back there. He came back and said, this is a place. Let's go there. God let them wander in the wilderness for 38 years along with Joshua and Caleb. But now he's saying, not one thing has failed of all the good things. All have come to pass. He did not blame God for allowing him to go through the wilderness experience along with other people. He took it gladly and said, Lord, I'm ready to suffer for your sake. I will go with other people, wander in the wilderness, and one day you will take me to the promised land. You promised and you fulfilled. Oh, my dear, such a wonderful promises of God that are mentioned here. I don't know if you have seen some people put some badges. Jesus loves you. Jesus saves. I don't know if you have seen Jesus never fails. Have you? I have come across that. And the biblical reference to the fact that Jesus never fails or the Lord never fails, he is taken from this reference. He never fails. Not one thing has failed. He never fails in his promises. Believe that, my dear, by faith. In between these two verses, Joshua chapter 21 and Joshua chapter 23, there is another chapter, Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22 is an interesting chapter. It talks about these 2.5 tribes who joined along with their brothers to conquer the land in the promised land. Now the time has come for them to go back to the east side of Jordan. The east side of Jordan where there are 2.5 tribes. Now in that, we notice that when they were sent to go, they go. Joshua tells them, please, go and occupy your land. While they are going to their land, just at the border of the river, you know what they do? They build an altar. Already there is the tabernacle at Shiloh. But what did these people do? We are going on the other side of the river. What is the point of coming all the way here? Maybe we'll build an altar here. I don't know what all the thought process they had. When they tried to build the altar, immediately the other sons of Israel, under the leadership of Eleazar's son Phinehas, they go. You can read chapter 22. They go and say, brothers, what is going on here? Why are you doing this? Already we have experienced how Achan was destroyed because of the way in which he was unfaithful. And also we see here how the iniquity of Peor was for 17. So why are you doing this again by building an altar for yourselves? Why are you doing it? You are going on to the other side of the river, but why are you doing it? And then they tend to justify And this is what they say, the 2.5 tribes. Oh, we were building an altar, but this altar is not going to be an altar used for burnt sacrifices and offerings. The burnt sacrifices and offerings are still going to be in Shiloh at the tabernacle, but this is just a witness so that our sons and the sons after them will not feel anything to the fact that we are on the other side of the river. When we are on the other side of the river, that we are not part of you. That is why we built this altar. Typically, when they try to build anything related to witness, they just build a stone, not an altar. Altar is a place to give offerings. And so what they say in verse 20, 29, join with me in reading Joshua chapter 22 and verse 29. These 2.5 tribes, far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day, by building an altar for burnt offering, for grain offering, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So they say, no, we don't want to do that. There is one place in Shiloh, there's a tabernacle. Though we are going to be on the other side of the river, we will come and we will worship. We will have one place to offer our burnt offerings and all other sacrifices unto the Lord. Though this particular one that we are building is just a witness, that's all, that's pretty much it. And that is how they kind of came to a common ground, and they did not get into war. Almost they would have gotten into a war between the 9.5 tribes and 2.5 tribes, because they were trying to build an altar closer to the place where they were, but did not happen because they realized that they're all united and they need to meet together in worshiping the Lord and offering sacrifices unto God at Shiloh, the place where they have designated during that time to meet together at a dwelling place of God, the place where they can offer unto God. And that is how a story is mentioned in Joshua chapter 22. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua talks to certain people. He's already old now. In verse 23, it says that he was old, advanced in years. He's now an old man, Joshua, towards the end of his life. He called all the Israelites. And he says, see, the Lord has done this wondrous thing in your life. Verse 6, notice this carefully. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right or to the left. To the right or to the left. And that is how he talks about it. So in this particular one, I want to remind each other about the God who lets everything to pass, not fail. You might think that things are failing, but God is going to make everything to pass. This particular understanding of a God who never fails is also referred to other places in the scriptures. Please join with me in reading two more scriptural portions aloud again. Please join with me. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 altogether. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel. According to all that he has promised, there has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Not failed one word. We have a God who never fails. He never fails in his promises. Psalm 37 and verse 3, this is our monthly calendar verse as well that we have been claiming on a daily basis in our daily prayer call. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 3. All together, please. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Not fail. He'll do it. He will bring it to pass. God will make things to pass, not fail. Because he's a God. When we commit our way to him, when we trust in him, you're going to see his promises being fulfilled in our lives. So refuge and rest. You see this rest here, the word rest here, who has given rest to his people Israel. Wow, so wonderful. He has given us a refuge, and when we are in that place of refuge, we have rest as well. So in chapter 23, there's one verse from our perspective. What is our responsibility when we know that God is our refuge and our rest? Note down, cling. Cling to the Lord by loving him. That is what you should do. You and I should do. When God is our refuge and rest, I need to cling to the Lord. Cling means what? Hold on. Hold fast. Don't give up. Abide in Him. Abide in His word. Love Him more, even during the calamities and circumstances that we are going through. For this, please read with me Joshua chapter 23, verses 8, 10, and 11. Join with me in reading this. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is He who fights for you, just as He promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. When you cling to the Lord, you will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is what the Shema is. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. You will be victorious because the Lord your God is He who fights for you. When you cling on to Him, you hold on to Him, my dear. Hold fast to Him. My dear, I'm telling you, these verses that I'm sharing with you are not for the sake of sharing. It is something that God is reminding you right now. You recognize that? Can you sense God speaking to you through His word? Not my words, God's word. He's our refuge, He's our rest. What should I do? What should you do? Cling to Him. Cling, tighten yourselves. Lord, in these times, I will hold you much tighter. You know, just like a child, when they're going along with their parent, they'll just loosely hold the father's hand or, you know, go by his side. But when they're in trouble, they hold on to their dad or mom. They cling. They just ask parent to carry them, or they hold the hand of the father or mother tightly. That is what it is, my dear. When we go through troubles in our lives, cling to Him and show and tell Him, tell to our God, I love you, God. You will take care of me, God. I know you will. Can you do that, my dear? Can you do that now? Can you do that today? Clinging to the Lord by loving Him more than anything in this world. Let's move on. Let's move on, my dear. We're almost there. Chapter 24. Chapter of Joshua. Conclusion. What does it say here? Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of the Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now Joshua goes to Shechem. Remember this place? Now from Shittim to Gilgal, Gilgal to Shiloh, Shiloh to Shechem. If you remember, we have meditated upon two mountains, the mountain of blessing and the mountain of curse, Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim. At this place, during Jesus' time, is in the place called Samaria. And there is a mountain where the Samaritan woman refers to our fathers worship here. And in between the mountains, the place where it is in between the mountains is Shechem. I think I showed you this picture in the past, just as a reminder. These are the two mountains, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. The covenant of blessings on Mount Gerizim, covenant of curses on Mount Ebal. And we see here Shechem is in between. And Joshua takes the people to Shechem towards the end of his life. Shechem is in Ephraim. Joshua is in the tribe of Ephraim. So probably he might want to get buried there. So maybe that's why he decided to go to Shechem and called all the people. Jacob's well is here. Remember, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman near the Jacob's well. This is all, this is Sychar, a city, Sychar in Samaria. This is Shechem, not too far off. This is a place where Jesus traveled and ministered unto the Samaritan woman. So Shechem is a place where Joshua is giving his farewell speech. A farewell speech, the last words are very important words. A lot of people want to hear, okay, what is this person going to tell? Let me tell you. He starts off by giving the history of what God has done through these people. And he talks about, hey, you know what, through our forefather Abraham, how he was brought from the land of Mesopotamia to this land. And later our forefathers, again, sons of Jacob, they all go to Egypt, settle there for 400 plus years. They were there. They came back. Now we are back to the land of Canaan. Remember one thing. Verse 13. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13. When I read this, I thought, wow, we have a God who prepares everything and gives us the place. Verse 13. You know what it says? Joshua 24, 13. I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you have not built and have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. When God blesses his people, he gives us everything. You don't need to labor to enter into the promised land, but you need to take care once you get into it. But God's promises of inheritance is given. Similarly, Jesus Christ, when he was ascending into heaven, and during the last days of his life on this earth, he said, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will take you. He's preparing a place where you don't need to labor. Such is the kind of place where you have not labored, cities which you have not built. God is preparing a place. And that is how Joshua is trying to tell this people of Israel, his last words. And now I want us to focus on one of the verses. I think it's a very familiar verse. Please join with me in reading this verse. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, I think it's 24:15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that you were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua focused on one word as part of his farewell address. And I have underlined that. What is that word? Serve. We typically take the last portion of this particular verse. But here it says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. God has chosen you. God has saved you. God has brought you into this promised land. God has given you a place where you haven't worked at all, but he has given you the place. God has chosen you to save you. He's giving you a choice to serve him. Many times we settle ourselves and say, oh, God has chosen me. I'm saved, done with. But Joshua is reminding of one thing. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. God is talking to you, my dear, through this verse. If you can realize that, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Let me tell you, in our life, we will serve someone. If you don't serve the Lord, we will be serving the things of this world. We may be serving our jobs. We may be serving our family more than God. But here, the word of God is saying, whom are you serving? Even when you are doing your work, you can serve God. But your focus should be serving the Lord. If you read this chapter 24 and try to see the repetition of the word serve, I was mind-boggled by seeing the word serve. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord sometimes also refers to worshiping the Lord or involving in his ministry, trying to serve God by being able to be a witness for the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. What is your choice, my dear? Are you focusing more on the things of this world so much so that you're neglecting to serve the Lord? But Joshua is saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not much is talked about Joshua's family except this place where he says, in my house and my household, my family, we will serve the Lord. What a great testimony that is. I picked up a thing here. Please note it down here. Cling to the Lord, choose to serve the Lord as a family. God is our refuge, God is our rest. God's promises always pass, never fails. From your side, what should you and I should do is to cling to the Lord and choose to serve the Lord as a family. You see this picture? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Many houses have this verse. Are you really serving the Lord, my dear? Or because you like this verse, or somebody gave this to you as a gift, you're putting it. Can you say confidently, with faith, asking God for help, saying, God, I want to serve you, not just alone, but together as my family. My dear, you are given opportunity during these days to stay with your family much longer than ever in your life. Probably you never thought that you will spend so much time 24/7 with your family at home. Are you serving the Lord? Take some time to spend time with your children, with your spouse. Develop good family bonding during this time. Have good time of family prayers. We have started memorizing Psalm 91 as a family. You can take some challenge like that together as a family. Memorize some scriptures. Psalm 91, Psalm 23. Let the children be able to learn the scriptures. Let me tell you, my dear, during this time, parents, you are the Sunday school teachers for your children. Teach your children what it means to know the Lord, to love the Lord, and to serve the Lord. Share the gospel with your children during this time. Maybe, who knows, you might be able to lead your children to Christ as well during this time. There's some good thing that can happen out of this coronavirus. In conclusion, let us read a few verses and we'll close. All together, please, let us read it. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. You see the word serve, serve. When you serve God, you need to put away the gods which you have served on the other side of the river. You just can't say, I will serve God, I will serve the things of this world, I will try to be putting my leg on both sides. Sorry, that is not what God is telling. You fear God, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away. Remove the things that are not acceptable in the sight of God. Only then can you serve him in sincerity and truth. Why did I put the portion on the bottom? Last Friday, for those of us who have joined the Bible study, this was one of the verses that we have meditated upon. When I was reading through it, I thought, Lord, you have a purpose in reminding us about the sincerity and truth. Please read along with me once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the portion of our Bible study last Friday, all together. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may have be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Two words. Very important. Joshua spoke about it. Paul the Apostle referred to it. Joshua said, put away the gods. Put away the things that are not acceptable to God. Paul the Apostle says in verse 7, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Not with the old leaven, but with the old leaven of malice and wickedness. Don't have negative thinking. Don't have anything that God doesn't want you to have. Don't have any backbiting nature. Don't have anything against anyone. We don't know how long we'll live on this earth, my dear. Our life is not worth having any bitterness towards anyone in this world. Serve him in sincerity and truth by taking away all the malice and wickedness from us. That is how you will be able to serve God. In all this, there is one thing that I underlined down here. Indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. During this Good Friday, Easter season that we are in, remember, Christ was sacrificed for us. He died for you and I. And we need to be able to celebrate what Christ has done for us with an unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity. Can you be sincere, my dear, in your serving God? Can you truthfully serve God? I think when it comes to our relationships with people, I think we should be intentional. We need to be intentionally calling people and say, how are you doing, my dear brother? Even if we are not able to get along with someone, still call them. Show forth your love just as God has loved. That's how you serve him, let me tell you. If you are trying to be within your own self and not concerned about others, non-Christians or even believers, I think this is an opportunity for you to use your phone, call them and say, how are you doing during this time? Did you know that God loves you? Did you know that God reminded me that I need to be sincere and truthful? And to the end, let us read some of the verses, interesting verses. I think we are all told a lot of WhatsApp messages are being sent out. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands multiple times. Sing a happy birthday song two times while you're washing your hands. Oh, use your sanitizer and all that. Spiritually speaking, there are some words I want us to read. And remember that when you wash your hands. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Such is the person who can stand in his holy place. Such is the person who can take refuge under the shadow of the Almighty. Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands talks about innocence. Lord, cleanse me. You know, James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands. See, hands are so important because we sin with our hands. Not just talking about the physical viruses that are around us. Of course, you need to wash your hands with soap or sanitizers, etc. But next time you're washing your hands, my dear, remember these verses. Lord, as I clean my hands, purify me, Lord. Verse 51, verse 2. Psalm 51, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And 1 John 1, 7, blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Oh, my dear, how wonderful it would be to be able to have clean hands and a pure heart in the sight of God. When we are so afraid of this coronavirus that we keep on washing ourselves and not letting others also get affected, how much more should your spiritual life be so that others are not affected through our lives? Sometimes our behavior affects somebody else's spiritual life. Did you know that? You don't want to pass the virus to others. Maybe, spiritually speaking also, we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. I hope you'll remember these 4 points. God is our refuge. God is our rest. I will cling to the Lord. I will choose to serve the Lord because God is a God. And he promised he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. That is how you consecrate yourself to the Lord. Crossing. Conquering, consecrating. That concludes the book of Joshua. May the Lord bless this word. And I hope we have learned something that will encourage us, that will challenge us, that will cause us to be able to be of much vigor and to serve the Lord. And let us never forget that he's here as our refuge. Share with others. Tell others, hey, God is our refuge. God will give us rest. I will cling to the Lord. I will choose to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that? Can you say that aloud, my dear? All together, shall we say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You made the commitment? And make sure you focus on your family during this time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this day. Lord, being a Sunday, we wanted to go to the house of the Lord and worship you and listen to your word, but we could not because of the situations around us. But we thank you, Lord, that you made our houses as a houses of worship. And you have enabled us to connect to each other through this technology. We hope, Father, that you have spoken to us through your living word. We believe through this book of Joshua, especially these last 5 chapters, that you reminded us, Lord, that you are our refuge and our rest. We will cling to you, Lord. No matter what, we will cling to you. And we want to choose to serve you as a family, not just alone, but as a family. Those who are yet to get married, help them, Father, to be able to be prepared to serve you as a family. Those who are waiting to have children, help them to be prepared to be able to serve you as a family. Those who are already children, give us the burden during this time when we are at home to teach our children the things of eternal value, to share the gospel, to lead them to Christ in accordance to your will. Lord, especially I pray, Father, many places in this world, people could not gather in person. But we thank you, Lord, for through this online tools, people were able to connect. Help us, Lord, to be able to continue to worship you in spite of the restrictions that we come across. And I pray, Father, for those who are suffering through this coronavirus, that you may give them good health, Lord, give them necessary health and healing. And if they do not know you as their personal Savior, that they may know you. Lord, give us opportunities to share the love of Christ to others as well during this time. Lord, help us not to be panicked, but help us, Father, to be able to say, whom shall I fear? Or whom shall I be afraid? Yes, Father, help us not to be having the fear of the circumstances around us. Lord, I pray, Father, for those who are having uncertainties related to their jobs, existing jobs or the jobs they are supposed to take yet. I pray, Father, that you may be with each one, Father. Strengthen each one of us, Father, to know, Lord, that you are in control of our lives. You know the best for your children. You will make all things to pass, not fail. Lord, you are our refuge until all the calamities pass by. Lord, sometimes there is a fear of the immigration issues, fear of settlement, many kind of things that are happening right now. Fear of health, fear of death. I pray, Father, that you may take away all of that to know, Lord, that we are in your hands. Thank you and praise you. Give us a blessed week ahead of us, Father. Help us to connect with each other. Help us to call each other and have fellowship with each other as well. May the love of God the Father, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit of God, rest, remain, abide with us as we commit this prayer in the name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Have a wonderful week ahead, my dear. Thank you.